Makapuatu is a New Zealand actor, writer, musician, and human jukebox. This is according to Jeff. He is a founding member of the modern Maori Quartet and is probably best known to American audiences as Sergeant Maka on CW's new show, Wellington Paranormal. Welcome, and thank you for coming on to Radio Labyrinth Presents, and I hope I got everything right phonetically.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah.
No, it's so great to meet you. We've been fans of this whole New Zealand onslaught of New Zealand comedies. And it's funny to me that I think the best comedies have been coming out of New Zealand for quite a while now. How did you come to be cast on the show? But how did it fall into your world? How did you fall into the show?
The executive producer, Paul Yates, him and I worked on another show, like a tween comedy program, back in quite a few years ago. And he gave me a call kind of out of the blue. And he's like, "Hey, Maka, hey, how's it going? It's Paul here. Do you remember me?" And I was like, yeah. "How's it, man?" And he goes, "Yeah, great, great." And he's like, "Look, have you seen What We Do in the Shadows?" I was like, "Yeah, I love that film. It's great. I went to the premiere. It's great." He goes, "Yeah, well, I've got in mind this spin-off series about the two cops in there. It's based around them, Mike and Karen. And we just wanted to offer you the part." And I was like, "Oh, you don't want me to audition or anything?" No. We think you'd be great. That was really cool. It was him and I often joked around on set on the previous job. It was called Boy Versus Girl. You know, it was mainly centered about the teenagers and this and their crazy hijinks, and we were just, you know, kind of the adults, the parents hanging out in the community, reacting to things like, "Oh, what happened there, Max?" and all that kind of stuff.
You're credited on the show, not just as an actor, but also as a writer. Is that because a lot of it's ad-libbed?
Yeah, definitely. The way that Jermaine likes to work is that he says, refer to the script as just the bones. There's a skeleton of a thing, but don't get married to it, because you know, when we pull in for your singles and stuff, you get a chance to fire off a lot of ad libs. So yeah, I think Mike, Karen, and I, and Tom, have a lot of leeway in that sense. Sometimes when you nail the thing as scripted, it's also very satisfying. But heaps of the gold comes out of the heavy emphasis on ad libbing.
Is the way the show scripted and unscripted with the ad lib, is that something that's a New Zealand way of communicating? I mean, if you can get my message, like the back and forth is just so good, and it's so understated, but everything is funny. And I'm just wondering, is it reflective of, you know, typical conversations from people in that way?
Yeah, definitely. We enjoy good banter. We like a good yarn, as we say. Yeah, yeah. Good yarns, good banter, you know, quality banter. And it's always, you know, like a bunch of back and forth.
Right.
Off the top, you know, with that kind of wry sarcasm. We like to mock each other in this country. Lightly. It means that, you know, the heavier you mock each other, like the deeper your friendship is. Yeah, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that isn't the case. He's like, "Why are you making fun of me?" Well, yeah, thanks for you know, answering that, because I just notice it in everything, in What We Do in the Shadows and even in Flight of the Conchords, when it was the three of them interacting, it was the same type of, you know, back and forth, the banter, very quick, but very, very intelligent and very witty. So thank you.
Yeah, no, it's, also those guys are all like Taika, Jermaine, Reese, Darby, Corey, they're all really close friends from the comedy scene in New Zealand since ages ago.
Yeah.
It's definitely, and Brett McKenzie and all of them, that's definitely reflective of a very deadpan kind of signature humor that they have, that we've all, since wider. I mean, you know, it is a New Zealand trait, but they you know, they turn it up a notch.
And some people online have compared your character to Rhys Darby's character Murray on the,
right,
the
original
Flight of the Conchords show. I wondered if that was done by design or if that just kind of happened.
It's just I never thought of it that way. I've called this meeting.
Yeah.
My office. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But you take charge too. I mean, you're the sergeant, so you take charge of what's going on, even if you might not know. But it'd be, the running through the cornfield where the alien monsters are spitting at you guys was madcap, and I was rolling, and I have a newborn, and so my newborn sits with me when I'm watching TV a lot, and I'm just laughing and looking down at him, and he's staring at me like I'm a nut. But it's great because, you know, again, there's tons and tons of television to choose from, tons. I mean, literally. And, you know, you find a couple of shows that really stick out as far as being funny or being a really good drama. And, you know, I can't recommend the show enough. And I'm so glad that it's finally on here so we can watch it. We know that Jermaine Clement has appeared at least as a voice on Wellington Paranormal. Has Taika appeared on the show in any form, or is he going to appear on the show in any form?
So I'll be completely honest. Taika is like a super busy man.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get to have a lot of involvement on the series on the whole. To be fair, I think that he was very busy with back then, I think probably busy with Thor,
mm-hmm. and
with Jojo Rabbit.
Right.
And that's kind of the main focus of the man's career. So a lot of it was heavily with Jermaine directing, and also with other guest directors such as Jackie Van Beek, who played Jackie the Familiar in What We Do in the Shadows, and another great, amazing sort of sci-fi horror kind of mind, which is Tim Van Damme, and he worked on his one of his great films is it's a New Zealand based horror to do with time, mega time court. Yeah, so we all kind of share the directing.
How excited are you and the rest of the cast about the show finally being able to be seen by us here in the United States? I know it's been kind of criminal that we've had to wait 3 years.
Yeah, sorry guys. Kind of just, you know, we're a bit slow on the uptake. Yeah. Still, we'd hold on to it a bit more, like, you know. No, I'm super excited. I've got quite a few friends in the US. And when it came out here in New Zealand, like 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, all my American friends and all my UK friends are like, how do we get this? How do we watch this? It's like, I don't know, man. You know, you've got the different... I was like, unless you got a VPN or something like that, I don't think you can. They're like, oh, you must have them on a hard drive somewhere. No, I can't. I can't do that. I've signed an agreement on my contract, so no. You're just gonna have to wait like the rest of the world. Sorry, my bro. Yeah. But yeah, it's super exciting to have it in America finally. It's great. It's awesome.
What do you think about having Sarge make his way to Staten Island to appear on What We Do in the Shadows?
Man, I would love that.
How do you think they handle vampires?
I think as you might have seen, that Sarge's greatest fear is ghosts.
And yeah.
Everything else falls under a hierarchy of, that's not too bad. Everything he kind of takes with an air of caution, but I think he'd do all right. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he'd do fine. Yeah. Yeah. Those are the other kind of, I'd always maybe while we're hanging out on set, I'd always sort of try and hint to Jermaine and like, are you guys setting up some sort of paranormal universe? Are we going to...
Yeah,
the crossover is that, and he holds his cards very close to his chest. Jermaine, he's like, yeah, well, maybe. That's what you get. Yeah, possibly.
Well, we mentioned Mega Time Squad, and of course the what we do in the Shadows movie. Do you have any other favorite paranormal movies?
I like supernatural horror. I like the Netflix series, like the Haunting of Hill House and Haunting of Bly Manor. Those are good. Sort of, yeah, I like them when they're kind of supernatural, kind of psychological thrillers like that.
You like Black Sheep?
I like it because I like seeing all my friends who are actors that I recognize. I like watching them die on screen in this way.
Getting eaten by sheep?
Yeah. You know, I think back to classics like Brain Dead and all of Peter Jackson's earlier work.
Right.
I love Brain Dead. That was the first kind of, for me, seeing a uniquely New Zealand reaction to a zombie apocalypse. And it's always very tongue-in-cheek. And, you know, a guy picks up a lawnmower and deals to them that way, you know. And it's a little bit of a homage to the, you know, American horror and action films of born in the 80s and stuff, you know.
Are there any funny behind the scenes stories or stuff like that that didn't make the show?
Okay, one thing I can tell you about that. So if we're talking about blooper reels, I proudly say that I hold the record for the most amounts of time that what we call corpsing on, you know, when you corpsing, yeah, that term when you you completely fall out of a scene and your shit laughing. That's me. So much so that every time that we have for the last sort of 4 years, every time that we'd have a rap party, we'd celebrate the season, they'd show a blooper reel at the function. And it's usually maybe like a 5, maybe 10 minute reel of me losing my shit. Yeah. Right. Mike and Karen are very, very funny, and I enjoy, it's interesting when you're an actor playing a character in The Thing, but you're also a huge fan of the world and a huge fan of your friend's work inside the world. And so I'm watching them, it's like, you're in the scene, don't laugh, you're in the scene, you know, and Mike might do something weird with his eyebrows and then it's all over. I'm just like, find a lot of reasons to maybe drop, you know, my eye level and look inside a drawer for no reason to try and hide the fact that I'm, yeah. So sometimes the stony face is that's a lot of good editing. Yes. A lot of good, probably take 36 of that scene. Yeah.
And we mentioned in the intro that you're one of the founding members of the Modern Maori Quartet.
Yes.
You guys got anything you want to promote music wise?
We do. We made an album a few years ago called That's Us, which is that's a very Maori phrase to say, to say, is that us, or are we gonna go do a thing, or that's us. And it's quite literally an album showcasing our personality, I guess. But no, lately we've just been doing a bunch of just corporate events, just private corporate events. And of course, because of COVID, we can't travel anywhere. So it's all just local.
You can't leave New Zealand?
We can, but you know, the travel is kind of a bit...
it's hard.
Difficult, yeah.
Difficult, hard.
Yeah. We did have a extended travel bubble to Australia, parts of Australia. We still can, but that's recently kind of been put back up.
Yeah. Someday it'll be over. We just have to persevere until that time. What else are we gonna do, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to come over to, you know, things like Comic-Con and that, and one day and say, man.
And we got a big one here in Atlanta called Dragon Con you should look into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
hope we have it. Do your songs get played on the radio, like on More FM?
More FM.
If that's still around, I don't know if it's around anymore.
It's still around. Yeah, it's still around. For a while there, we had a single called Shine,
mm-hmm.
They would play it in the airplane in the Air New Zealand planes when you'd land.
Oh, neat.
Even the international ones, and every other 6 months they'd update a different single from a different New Zealand band. And so, yeah, for a few months there was us. Every time the plane would land and you'd hear our song, My Baby Can't Shine. People like, oh, I took a flight the other day and heard you guys. Oh, that's great. No, they haven't. We haven't had any. Maybe some iwi Māori radio stations still regularly play our stuff, but I don't know. Haven't listened to them for a while.
I think it was 1999. I did television. I used to produce television commercials for radio stations, and I did one for the More FM stations in Dunedin, Wellington, Christchurch, and one other town I can't remember the name of. And they were all the same. And it was funny because you had to have at least two artists from New Zealand in a commercial. So yeah, it was like you had to have a certain amount of content. I thought that was cool. But I always had this wonderful blue wool jacket that said More FM on. That's my only connection to your country. So someday I'll come visit.
Yeah.
So
well, I'm the Atlanta, you come over here.
Yeah, you come to Atlanta, bring me another one, or I'll take you out. We'll take you out and you can have something Atlanta. So we've only seen the first three episodes, although some of us, Jeff, might have seen all three seasons or all of the episodes that are available. So what are some of your favorite episodes and monsters coming up that you can't wait for us to see here in America?
So you're in the first three episodes of season one, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think maybe episode four, maybe. Have you guys seen The She-Wolf yet?
I have. No, that's coming this weekend.
That's okay, cool. So that's that's one of my favorite episodes of season one. It's my friend Anna Scottney. She's she's playing the wolf, the She-Wolf. It's very good. Very good.
Love that.
There's a lot of ridiculous ad-libs about dogs wearing jeans. So I'm not going to give away anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, that's coming up. Season one. One of my favorite episodes of all time, if I can skip ahead to season two, one about a taniwha. A taniwha is like a mythical guardian to Māori. And, you know, they're like water-dwelling, sea-dwelling, lake-dwelling creatures, kind of like Loch Ness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it resonates a lot with Sarge because, you know, being Māori, and he's like, that's the big one for him. That's his Moby Dick. Yeah. Like, you know, and it resonates in his bones and his genealogy. But also, there's a great cameo by a very funny man called Jason Hoyt. He plays a salty sea captain called Captain Quinn. Mm-hmm. Now that, if I want to talk about like behind the scenes things, or the most hilarious day I can remember of all four seasons, is Jason ad-libbing around being a sea captain with an eye patch and a hook and some things to do with ad-libs around fecal matter, and they were just so extended. You can tell that it killed the entire crew.
Yeah.
Not literally, you know, we're literally sitting out in a tiny tugboat in the middle of Wellington Harbour, and Jason's just going for it, and he's great. He doesn't miss a beat. He's just like, yeah, I've got a great story about that. Incinerator. And then he just goes off on a bunch of tangents, and, you know, no one calls cut, and we're all lying, we're all crying. The camera, the POP's going like this, so the camera's shaking. All the like, the sound boom guy is burying his face in his armpit, and we're all, and you can hear, so there's a tugboat, and then there's a safety there's another boat on the back with like Jermaine and that watching the monitor, and you can hear Jermaine like dying laughing. When he likes a take, he goes, yeah, that's good, when he loves it, you hear him go, oh, like it's infectious. And he's like, bro, you just nailed the director. He loves it. And it was very, very hard to stay in the scene that day. Yeah, that was a big one. Sorry, guys.
You kind of covered my next question, which was if there was any monsters from New Zealand culture that made it onto the show or that you wanted to see come onto the show.
Yeah.
You kind of answered that already.
There's a couple more that are coming up and a couple more that I wish had made it, but you never know. They might.
Right.
Do you personally believe in the paranormal or cryptids or have any experiences?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, Māori, we definitely have an affinity with, you know, the supernatural realm. You know, we like to say that we walk side by side with our ancestors all the time. Mm-hmm. And if not, you know, they're watching us. And so we grew up on all those, I don't like to say myths and legends, you know, it just kind of is part of our genealogy. But I distinctly remember being in my 20s and as a student waking up from a long kind of sleep and looking at the roof and, you know, sort of that half awake, half asleep. Did I just see that, or, you know, was that a girl's face sort of vanishing into the roof, into the ceiling above me? Or I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't really want to think too much about that. Maybe I'm still asleep. Just vibes that you get walking into a room sometimes. Yeah, I trust in those.
I agree with you. I think there's certain times your eyes will catch something that maybe you wouldn't normally see or that we're not really supposed to see, not because we're prevented from seeing it because of some force, but just because we're not in that spectrum, but you do sometimes see it. And I felt that, or you felt the chill. And I just believe that too. I think that the energy that surrounds you your whole life comes from other, I'm going to sound like a weirdo new age hippie now, but it comes from your family and the people that are with you. They stay with you, and I can't explain it or put it any better than that, but I just have a feeling about that.
Our last Radio Labyrinth Presents, we interviewed a guy that made a comedy movie about Bigfoot. I wondered if New Zealand doesn't have any Bigfoot creature.
Do you have like a Yeti, like a man ape type of creature in New Zealand? Is there any of that in your folklore?
Oh, well, interestingly enough, and that you're going to have to wait for season 3.
Okay, great.
There is a big theme around Sarge's, as a quite an extensive research based on cryptids. He you know how he always has one of those sort of clue boards with the string that will, you know, showing the extent of his research. They go out into the bush and they research in pursuit of a Bigfoot like creature.
Cool.
We're certainly looking forward to all more seasons. I know Jermaine said back in June that the season 4 is in post-production. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they were going to put a little pause on making more after season 4 because he was working on another show. But I wondered if there was anything we in the U.S. could do to try and, you know, who do we need to sacrifice to Bazool, the unholy of the unholy realm, to make sure we get more seasons?
So many people, I could just chuck them on the list. No one in specific right now, but yeah to sacrifice them all. And we'll be like, he's gone, big on. That whole pop group's gone. Cool. Let's bring it back. a little blood of the innocent and not so innocent.
Yeah, the not so innocent blood, we'll get rid of that as well.
Yeah.
Spill that.
I feel like if it becomes a hit on the level of the What We Do in the Shadows TV show, then maybe he'll have no choice but to go back and make more.
You know.
Cross your fingers.
Definitely, man.
As anything, it needs promotion. It needs, people need to get the word out and share it because it is so funny. And I know that our audience will check it out and tell their friends. So, I mean, that's how you make something that's go viral, you know, when you don't have the huge advertising budget and you're not everywhere like that. So it's a great show. It's funny.
Thank you.
The people on Reddit wanted me to ask if you in your mind know the passcode to Sarge's office.
Obviously in the first episode it was 5. Yeah. But, in later seasons, you know, he was definitely motivated to look. The technology changes from season to season. Technology, I mean, whatever Sarge has made up on the day. So, definitely retina scan, voice recognition, which is pretty much just Sarge talking to himself in his Siri-like voice. Computer, open door. Doors opening. Doors closing. It's pure. Thank you, computer. You're welcome. Like, just, yeah. No, we never actually settled on an actual code. We just sort of ad-libbed around mother's birthday, my birthday, you know, nothing specific. Sorry, guys. Take me punching in different numbers. And what I loved about the real keypad that we used, I wanted it to have different tones for every one of the numbers so I could play some kind of weird tune, but it was all just beep, beep, beep at the same time. So didn't get away with it. So could have been like happy birthday to you or something, but no, just the same tone over and over again.
Well, before we wrap, we want to thank you. We have a couple more questions. We ask the same questions of the guests that we have on, and we really appreciate you coming on. We are really fan-based, and we seek to interview people that we really enjoy and provide us with laughs, and we want to spread the word about shows that we like. So again, thank you very much for coming on. And
thank you guys very much. It's awesome. I love it. Thanks.
And we want everybody to watch the show. So make sure that you, after you watch this interview, you go right now to HBO Max or CW and watch it. Our final questions are pretty easy. It's your last day on Earth. You get one last dessert. What's it going to be?
Oh, man. I really love Crofts cheesecake that we had in New Zealand. Strawberry. Cool. Passion fruit.
Passion fruit. I've never had that on cheesecake.
Sounds delicious.
Yes.
You can watch your favorite movie one last time. What would that be?
Oh man. You know what I got riding around in my head is Predator. Like the original.
A choice.
Predator. It still stands up, man. It never dates. It's great. It's just like the most masculine handshake of the, you know, Dylan, you son of a... I could watch that again.
You are one ugly motherfucker. One
ugly motherfucker, yeah. All of that, yeah, yeah. Definitely Predator, and then I can go happy. Yeah.
One final song plays as you exit the stage and enter into the light with Carol Ann. What will that be?
Ooh. Man, this is hard. Okay. A Song for You by Donny Hathaway. Not Elton John, not the Donny Hathaway song.
Okay. Okay.
It's pretty haunting. I heard it and I was like, probably gonna have that play at my funeral. So it's probably that. It's pretty much Donnie kind of saying after all the things that he's done in his life, he's been on so many stages and sung songs in front of millions of people, but at the end of the day, the one song that he's most important to him is the one that he gives to his partner or the person, whoever's in the song,
mm-hmm.
like regardless of how crazy my life and career has been, and I haven't been the perfect person. So I'm sorry, but here's a song for you. Yeah, listen to that. It's pretty. So, oh, it's a tearjerker. It'll get you.
Donny Hathaway. Awesome.
Big influence on Amy Winehouse and me and a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely check that out.
Absolutely.
You got anything you want to promote other than the show? You working on anything coming up?
I'm currently working on a TV series, a BBC collab called Mystic. It's another, it's a kind of about a crew of teenagers that solve mysteries and ride horses in an idyllic New Zealand settings. And again, where the adults are kind of are around to give sage advice and react to things like, whoa, how did that happen? the protagonist is a girl, young woman from England who comes to New Zealand to stay with her New Zealand family. And at the core of the story, there's quite a heavy Māori influence on the young people. So I'm working on that at the moment. Actually had to wrap season 4 of Paranormal and come straight up back to Auckland to work on that. So yeah, and that's going till we're working on that till late October. A lot of work. And other than that, just stoked to have Paranormal in front of American audiences, and I hope you guys really love the show.
I hope it takes off. I really do. I'd love to have it go 10 seasons if it could.
Yeah, man. Loved it. Bring it back.
Jeff's been telling everybody about the show for the past 3 years on this podcast, so we're all happy that it's finally on. I didn't want to download it illegally, so I waited like a good person. Cool, man.
Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome.
Thanks, sir. I was worried that Illyrium and Ogre were going to come arrest me someday, but...
Oh, well, that's right. That's right. You know?
I thought maybe if it was Parker, he'd give me a break, but...
Yeah. Actually, Parker would be the harshest, you know? Doesn't tolerate cybercrime, Alfred Parker. He's a tech expert of the, of the crew. I'd kind of like, that would be hilarious. Just to get a knock on the door and, you know, usually it's the FBI that come and track down your internet use, but, you know, hello, we're the paranormal unit. We come to here to notice that you downloaded 3 seasons of our documentary illegally, and so we're here to arrest you, take you back to New Zealand to trial. I like that. Great concept.
I haven't been vaccinated yet.
And they'll just throw you out of the plane on the way.
In all honesty, I have been. I was just doing improv.
I've yet to get mine, actually, guys. But it's become available for the public now.
Did it get there late? Not to get too heavy. We don't need
New Zealand had a handle on this thing way before the rest of the world. So,
I mean, we're pretty comfortable on our end of the world, but you know, still people that like to mess around with it, and we do get a bit complacent around things.
Yeah,
it's not that. Maybe we did get the vaccine a little bit later, but I think we were prioritizing,
older and
elderly and special needs people before the rest of the general public. So I'm going to be in there next week, pretty sure.
All right.
Yeah, it doesn't really, it's not that bad. You know, don't listen to anybody telling you, oh, you're in bed for a week. It's work, depending on. But anyway, we don't want to end on the horrible thing that's captured the world.
We'd love to have you back again, maybe for season 2 or season 3 when it starts airing here in the United States, and put in a good word for us with some of your castmates if you talk to them, and maybe we can get somebody else on later.
Absolutely. Don't have to just listen to me ramble on. I'd love to.
Have a great weekend, and thanks for coming on Radio Labyrinth Presents.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. Take care.
game